Welcome and get ready for a front row seat on Icons with Ava Johanna, the live show that is raising the bar in the entertainment space worldwide. You're about to be right in the middle of heart-pounding conversations and real-time connection that ignite transformation within. Our global live show stars the industry's powerhouses, visionaries, and cultural icons. Together, we'll walk the path of legendary entrepreneurs, influential business moguls, celebrities, and iconic brand architects. Join the conversation, seize the opportunity to engage directly with icons of their industries, and immerse yourself in an unparalleled learning experience. Icons isn't just a show. It's an opportunity to step into the minds and hearts of industry leaders and run with their advice. So grab your popcorn, because this is the space where icons are born. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Icons. Happy Friday. Happy International Women's Day. I am so excited to be here and so grateful for everybody tuning in live and also listening or watching the recording. Icons is a space where we are able to come together, have conversations around the different nuances of leadership, entrepreneurship, building a brand, and as the name states, truly being iconic in your industry. And I can think of two no better women to join me on International Women's Day than Steph and Court of Social Fly and Entrepreneistas. These two women have come into my life rather recently through a Facebook ad, which is, I just love the magic of how that can happen from time to time. And when I found Entrepreneistas and then Social Fly and Steph and Court and saw their relationship and saw what they were building, I think especially since the world has opened up so much, and y'all know that I talk about this quite a bit, community is really at the forefront of my priority, and community is also how we grow far and fast together. And so I'm so grateful. Thank you guys so much for being here with me live. Welcome to Icon, Steph and Court. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. So a little background for everybody. And I was blown away when I started going through Entrepreneistas and Social Fly, but to have built this global community through Entrepreneistas, to have built this social media and influencer platform that has worked with over 200 brands, that's really, really impressive. And so I'm so curious. I know a little bit about your backgrounds, but would love for anybody who is not familiar with either of you or your companies that you've built, for you to just share quickly a background of how you actually got started. And I think from there, maybe we can talk about like coming together even to create these companies.
Court, you want to take this?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So Stephanie and I, and I'll try to share the short version of the story, but it is quite the long journey. We've been working together for over 12 years, but Stephanie and I met through a mutual friend who's also an entrepreneur, one of my best friends from college. Actually, while we were both vacationing in Miami, this was, I think, in 2010 is when we met. We quickly connected, stayed in touch through the popular social media channels at the time, which at the time it was Skype, actually. Skype and Facebook was how we stayed connected. I was living in Boston at the time. Stephanie was living in New York. And then in 2011, I moved back to New York. I'm originally from there for a job with American Express. It was while I was there that I saw that they were doing some really innovative things with Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare at the time. And I shared with Stephanie, who we became friends at this point, we're friends. And I shared that I wanted to get into social media marketing. My background was finance. Her background was marketing. She also wanted to get into social media marketing, had a vision for how social media in its infancy could really be helpful to small businesses and brands. So we just started working together on the side of our full-time jobs. And after 10 months, we said to each other, if this is ever going to be a real business, we just have to go all in and do it. So I crunched some numbers, figured out how much we needed to make in order to pay for our bills. We were self-funded. Our parents didn't support us. So we really had to make this work. And we decided to take that leap of faith on May 4th, 2012, which is a day that we always celebrate for a lot of reasons, which I'll share. And then quickly things just took off. A lot happened that first week that we were full time. We got connected to someone who bartered for office space with us. So we got our first office. We had 6 interns that first week, and we joined this incredible networking group where we got all of our first clients. And things really took off for a lot of reasons. One, we were early in social media marketing. Not a lot of businesses were doing what we were doing. 2, we were really putting ourselves out there and building our network and telling everyone who we know about the benefits of social media. And then 3, we were really persistent and really focused on making the business work. Flash forward to 2020, at that point, or actually 2018, Stephanie and I decided to start a podcast called Entrepreneurista, where we share the story of successful women founders. So at that point in business, we had a lot of traction. We had many employees, worked with hundreds of brands, evolved our agency to really be one of the top social media agencies in New York. And we always were putting ourselves out there in terms of marketing and really capitalizing on the new capabilities within social platforms and podcasting. And back in 2018, it was still relatively new, and we really wanted to test it out. And at that point in time, we had been entrepreneurs for, I think, 6 years, and really wanted to have a podcast about entrepreneurship and helping women, helping to give back to the community that we had built. And now, and then in 2020, we decided to evolve it into what it is today. So now it's a separate company that Stephanie runs. It's a media company and private membership community of over 1,700 members. And Stephanie can share a lot more about it. So much has happened in the last 12 years, but that is the journey.
Wow. I mean, for both of you, I know that you've shared this journey many, many times on your podcast, on stages, on other people's podcasts, but even just like, especially like this week, knowing that Socialfly got acquired, which again, congratulations. I think I've said it 3 times at this point. It's huge. Hearing your story and like speaking it out loud, do you take a moment to just like stand back and be like, whoa, we built this, we did this?
We really try to take moments together to remind ourselves that we have to do that. And I can take you back to a time when we were sitting in our last office that we had in New York City. And I remember this, and we still have this office today. It's on 29th Street in Manhattan. And Courtney's office was in the back, and we had these glass windows, and you could see the rest of the team through the office. And I remember sitting there with Courtney, and I feel like it had been like 5 years. And I felt like it was the first time we sat there and we're like, wow, we actually built this. We created this. We paid for this. We paid for the glass in this office. And we were just, I literally said that because Courtney and I joked all the time. I'm like, glass is actually really expensive to buy. People don't know when you put that in offices, but we really wanted to be able to have everyone connected and be able to see everyone and have everyone be together. So it's, you have to remember to take those moments. And I feel like in the early days, we were just literally running around, pounding the pavement, going from meeting to meeting in New York City, clients coming into our office, I'm running out, going to meet with clients. And it's like, you don't just stop and realize like what you're building and how much work and effort goes into every little thing that you're doing. And I feel like it took until like 5 years in that moment to be like, okay, we did it. We've made it here. And now, and then we're like, okay, what's next? Yeah. But now I think we are a lot better at, and I share this with founders all the time, especially the founders in our community. I'm like, you have to celebrate the small wins, the big wins too, but the small wins, because they all add up to become these really incredible moments and businesses. And if we don't take the time to stop and celebrate, it can be really exhausting. So be sure to do it.
Yeah, totally. I can fully resonate with that. Earlier this year, in beginning of February, we hosted our first in-person event for my certification, the Academy of Breath. And we have done 10 rounds, over 600 students over the last 4 years. And so this was the first time, also because it began in the pandemic, the certification at least, I had never actually been able to truly connect with any of these people that we had gone on these life-changing journeys with. And I remember sitting in the event space where we were getting ready and our designer was coming in to, you know, put the balloons in and the disco balls, and just sitting there, and my makeup artist was like, do not cry right now, because it was, I don't even know. It was like just the balloons, seeing the balloons. I was like, wow, I cannot believe that we've come this far. And like, it's so easy, especially for high achieving women, especially when you're in a space like New York or LA, these big, like bustling cities, to just keep your head down and move, 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 that you miss all of the incredible things that you're doing every single step of the way. The things that, like, I always joke, like, if you were to go into a coffee shop and list off the things that you just did over the past week, the barista would be like taken aback, like, how did you even do all of that? Or I couldn't even imagine doing all of that. But that's like your day to day, which is so beautiful and so cool.
Yeah. And I think the pandemic, you know, many of us started working from home during the pandemic. So the amount of hours we got back, not commuting, it was like 3 hours a day, not, you know, in cabs or taking the subway and going back and forth. And we were able to take that time to then like focus on creating another business. But I think people got much more efficient and productive, being able to take meetings on Zoom, and you could just get a lot more done. And we're all just like, go, 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 go. We have to take the time to take it in and celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that you will be feeling that big time too with the event in May, of just looking around and being able to see this entire community that you have created together. I mean, 1700, 1600.
Yeah, we have over 1,700 members now, and everyone is just in there connecting, building relationships, doing business together. It is just the most wonderful, magical thing to watch every single day what's happening in there, because as you know, business is all about your connections and your relationships and being able to help each other, and to just see that it'll happen every day, there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I want to go in down this trail of thought and this theme for a second, but then I want to come back to just your relationship and working together. But something that I was just thinking about, and this is a conversation I have with a lot of my clients and get this as a question a lot from people in my community, you know, as we talk about community building, attending events, I do think that there have been events or times where we've gone out and it's felt a little icky, right? Like the networking part hasn't felt truly authentic or genuine, or you can tell that, you know, it feels like everyone's trying to get something versus, like you just shared, like the giving, the reciprocity, the being able to collaborate, which is where the magic really lives. So what would you suggest for anybody that is listening to this right now to perhaps change the mindset around community building and networking and leveraging connections, building connections overall, and how they can approach it from this like ick-free energy, so that they are able to develop their brands and develop relationships and support and be able to leverage new opportunities?
Corey, you want me to take this one?
Yeah, you go for it, Steph.
Okay, this is actually my favorite thing to talk about, is building relationships with other humans. And it really has been the key to our success growing both of our businesses. When you genuinely care about other people and you want to learn about other people and build actual relationships, that's when all the magic actually happens. Because if you go into a event, whether it's a networking event or whatever type of event it is, and you're genuinely curious and you want to meet other people and you want to have conversations to learn about them, and you find out, you know, what type of business they're in, who are they looking to meet, and you can then start to make those genuine, authentic introductions and connections, that's when all the big things can happen, right? It's not about going to events and saying, you know, I'm here, I sell social media services, who needs my services? It's about learning about other people, finding out what they need, what's important to them, who can you connect them and introduce them to. Then when you start building a relationship and they learn about you too and find out, oh, you offer social media services, I might need those, then you have this authentic relationship and things can just happen more naturally and beautifully. And it doesn't have to be like, this is what I do, do you need my services, buy this today. It's not about that. It's about that genuine connection and relationship building.
Yeah, I love
that. I'll just add to Oh, I was just going to say, I'll just add to that. When you're at an in-person event, I think what Stephanie's sharing is really important. But for a lot of people, it can be really hard to strike up that conversation. And you kind of need that opening line or that courage to start a conversation with someone. I find a lot of times that it's easier to meet people when you go alone to networking events versus going with someone you know, because then you get comfortable, you're in the corner, you're talking to the one person or two people that you know, and then it might be intimidating for other people to come up to the group. So if you are at a networking event and you're alone, or even if you're in a group, I would just kind of wander off and try to spark a conversation with someone. And different things you could say would be, you know, what brings you to this networking event? Are you from around here? Or really anything, but just you don't always have to wait for people to come to you and spark that conversation. You can go up to people and just ask a question.
Yes, I went to an event in December in LA and I was like, I'm not going with anybody. I want to go by myself. The comfort zone would be to go with people, but I know that I want to be connecting with people at this event. And I could feel from the people that I would go up to, which was, it's uncomfortable for me. I'm like introverted by nature, even though I've got a podcast and I'm always on Instagram and I'm doing my damn thing. I'm introverted by nature, and every other time I'm like under my blankie on the couch when I'm not socializing with people. But I could feel like the softening of people when they were approached and like, oh, okay, cool. Like there's this connection that somebody wants to establish with me, and the comfort that came from me approaching other people that they got to receive. And so even being able to be the person that created comfort for someone else was so gratifying for me that it felt like I was being of service and really leading from my heart. And it didn't need to result in anything. It just was an opportunity to connect with somebody and make someone who also was there alone feel a little bit more comfortable and feel like they're connecting with somebody. And I think that it is uncomfortable, but once you start doing it, it's like, you know what? We're all just human beings. I can take the pressure off of myself. And I feel like that's something that people get really worked up about is like having the perfect elevator pitch and making sure that you say the exact right thing that if your, you know, ideal client was standing in front of you, they'd be like, you're the person to support me. And it just creates this constriction between how you feel and the relationship you're able to develop. And also, what I've found anytime that I've tried to force myself into that is like an inauthenticity where I'm like, I feel like I'm trying too hard.
So interesting.
So, with this idea of like ick-free networking, knowing that you guys have events coming up, what would you suggest for somebody like to prepare themselves to going into an event and feeling really confident and feeling excited to connect with people? Like, yes, go alone. What other tips do you have for somebody who is maybe going to their first event?
So a lot of times at events, you can actually find out who's going to be attending the events ahead of time. A lot of events have apps where they have a whole list of people ahead of time that you can connect with for our event. So we have our Entrepreneurs to Founders Weekend event coming up. It's actually May 3rd to May 5th in Orlando. So we're super excited about this event. And we have lots of our members that are coming. And actually some women founders are coming that are not yet members of our community, and we're excited to welcome them to the event as well. And we have a community platform. And we have a special room in our community platform where all attendees of the event are in there already, connecting, making time to like meet up before the programming starts. And everyone's like in that same boat. So I think the important thing to remember is like, you're not alone. Like everyone else is experiencing the same thing as you are. So like, if you are feeling like nervous to go to an event alone, you've never, this might be your first time doing it. A lot of people are feeling that exact same way. And if you can make some of those initial connections ahead of time, where you can say, like, hey, I can't wait to go meet up with Courtney at the event. We're setting up a time to grab coffee before everything starts on that Friday. And then you feel like you're making plans ahead of time. So it's not all new for you right when you get there.
Such a good tip. That happened when I was a speaker at an event in September. One of the other speakers reached out and was like, we should be all getting dinner together before the event. Like, I want to be able to connect with y'all before we actually go speak on the stage together. And it was so nice because it just got to break the ice. And then instantly going into the next day of the event, it was like, oh, I already have my people here. I've got people that I can connect with and people that they're connected with. So now my network's growing so much faster.
Exactly.
Yeah, and another tip that I have is once you are at the event and you are making all of these amazing connections, I recommend staying in touch and connecting with them on LinkedIn and following up over email and trying to find ways to sustain their relationship so that it wasn't just a meeting at that event. So that's something that I find that a lot of people don't do or the follow-ups.
Can we dig a little bit deeper into that? Because I think that that is so important. And it's also something that in the past, admittedly, I have not been great at. It's kind of like, you know, the joke of like when you go to the bar and you meet the girls in the bathroom and you become best friends and then you literally never see them again. How do you, like, through LinkedIn or Instagram or however, how do you suggest the follow-up? I feel like there's an opportunity again to create trust and build the relationship by giving in some sort of way. So, do you have any recommendations for something that somebody could offer or do in order to continue deepening the relationship, especially if it's somebody that they see as a potential client or a potential door opener for other opportunities?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what I said before. It's having conversations to learn, like, what would be helpful for them right now? Is there something that they're looking for in their business that you could help them with? Or are they looking to meet someone that you could make an introduction to? You know, so much of business goes back to the relationships that you have. So when you're at an event, it's like, sure, you know, connect with people after on LinkedIn, but ultimately, it's about building a real relationship with that person and getting to know them as a person, not just about what's happening in their business. And sure, don't get me wrong, there's absolutely like transactional relationships. Like I'm meeting this person, they're the director of marketing, they're looking for social media services. That might be top of their mind. They might want to have a quick follow-up conversation to learn about your services. That stuff can absolutely happen. But it's really like the deeper, longer-term relationships where you're getting to know each other and learning about what is important for both of you and both of your businesses. Who are you looking to connect with? What services are you looking for? How can you both be making connections and introductions and having those conversations? Because then your follow-up conversations become, you know, not on LinkedIn, but like on text, over email, getting each other's number, and really forming these like business friendships.
Yeah, this is so good. Okay, so I want to circle back since we're talking about friendship and business friendships, because as you mentioned in the beginning, Court, your friendship was what first started, and then you said, hey, let's go into business together. I can imagine that it hasn't been all rainbows and butterflies over the past 12 years. And so I'm so curious, like doing business with friends, when did you decide to go into it together and what do you think are important factors for people to keep in mind when going into business with people that they have a personal relationship with?
Yes, this is a great question. So when Stephanie and I went into business together, I think we had known each other for maybe a year, year and a half. So we were newer friends and we were also really young. We were in our mid-20s. So I don't think I can't remember really us having a conversation and really identifying that we were, you know, had opposite skill sets. I think it was obvious that we had opposite skill sets because we did different things. I don't think when we came together to start the business, we really understood the different skill sets we brought to the table until we actually started working together. So my advice to anyone that it wants to start a business with someone or have a business partner or even go into business with a friend is to sit down and have a conversation about who's responsible for what and really align on that. Also align on work ethic and values. Stephanie and I were really lucky in that we have very similar work ethic. We're really hardworking, working around the clock, very motivated, very, very much align on the vision. Of course, there have been many times where we disagreed on how to get there, and that requires being really comfortable having conversations and debates and talking through how to move forward. Another thing I would recommend if you do find yourself having a conflict with a business partner is, of course, talk about it, but also come to a decision. Don't let things linger. And then once you decide on something, commit to it, even though you may not agree with it, because you don't want to dwell on things. You just want to move forward and keep going, and also make sure that you respect each other and you like working together. Those are really important. But I would say the areas where I see people not be aligned or have falling outs with business partners are when they just don't have the same values or the same work ethic. And when you're running a business, it's really, really hard. There's challenges all of the time. And it's so nice to have a business partner because you have someone to vent to and someone who gets it. But it also can become a nightmare when the person is unavailable or doesn't care as much as you, or you're working twice as hard as that person. So try to all get on the same page as early as possible. Steph, did I miss anything?
No, that's everything. Actually, one thing, we worked with a business coach. So a few years into starting Socialfly, we started working with the amazing Leslie Grossman, and she really helped us. It was like having a like business therapist almost. And there was so much we didn't know. We, as Courtney said, we were in our early 20s, mid 20s, starting our business. We were, you know, babies in business and learning as we went. And Leslie had been in business for many years. She had built and sold a PR agency, and we were able to learn so much from her and her advice. And we definitely highly recommend having a business coach. And especially if you have a business partner, it can really help.
I can imagine that in many cases, she could serve almost as a mediator, not necessarily in like big conflict, but just to support both of you and being able to really see and listen and hear the other's perspective and be able to create more common ground if there were ever times where there were disagreements or different points of view. I'm curious, because Court, you mentioned that you see when you see businesses or business partners, you know, fail or really have a hard time, that a lot of the times it comes down to values. But I also imagine that there can be a growing resentment if you, like you said, like someone is like really like carrying most of the weight on their back while the other person isn't. And I imagine though that you have been in business together for over a decade. And so I imagine that there's been periods of time where the weight is transferred differently. And so how do you hold each other in that, celebrate each other, and like really also reflect back appreciation towards each other when, you know, life is lifing and you aren't able to necessarily give as much as the other person? Or if it is a conversation around like, certain strengths being utilized or needed during a certain season more so than other strengths?
That is a really great, really, really great question. And it really comes down to being comfortable enough with your business partner, business partners, and sharing times when you feel that way, and then working together to come to a solution. I remember in the early days, you know, we're bootstrapped, we're new business owners. There was a lot that we didn't know. And in the early days, we would take on all of the responsibilities, and we didn't, I would say, know when to delegate them. And what Leslie helped with, actually, and this was one of the first exercises that she had us do, was she basically had us write down all the things that we were responsible for and all of the things that we were doing. And then together, we came together and looked at that list and bucketed things in different categories. And that's how we realized, you know, if one person was taking on more than the other, and then we would come to decisions and say, okay, maybe it's time to delegate this so that the workloads are equal. So that's definitely an exercise I recommend business partners do probably quarterly, especially in the early days when things are evolving so quickly. It's so easy to just take something on and not even realize because you're moving so fast. So having those pause periods, reflection periods, and look backs of what you're doing, you know, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and then aligning on whether or not it's fair. The reality is, especially in a 50-50 partnership, it probably isn't always going to be fair. There's, you know, where as Stephanie and I are kind of married to each other in a business sense, but we also, you know, have our personal lives and things go on in our personal lives that, you know, may not enable us to be as present in the business. And really, you know, we didn't have a business partnership agreement on day one. We actually put that together probably years into the business. And what our lawyer said was, you know, you can try to put every single scenario into this document, which is going to be costly and impossible because anything can happen. And at some point, you just have to agree to trust each other and have conversations when things arise and trust each other enough that you can come to a solution that makes sense. So it's really all about conversations. I wish there was a better process for it, but there really isn't.
Yeah, conversations, trust, and having the same vision. And going back to what Courtney shared about having an operating agreement. So we did not have an operating agreement until a few years into business because we didn't know we needed to have an operating agreement together. Or maybe we did. We just delayed getting it together and procrastinated and focused on other things. But we highly suggest if you go into business with a partner, have those documents set up from day one. Now you can ultimately change that agreement with your partner and work with a lawyer to do that later on if things change. And that's why Courtney shared, like, it can be this, you know, living, breathing document that based on the way your business partnership is progressing or things that are happening, you can change what's in there legally, but have something like that set up from the beginning.
Yeah, I think that it's something that, especially when you're going into business with friends, maybe it can be an uncomfortable conversation at first, but ultimately it creates that transparency and that clarity. So it doesn't feel like there's anything being unsaid. You know, I even think about it from the perspective of like marriage, right? You want to be very, very clear on what you are going into the marriage thinking the husband is responsible for, thinking the wife is responsible for, what marriage actually means. And I did not do that in my first marriage. And so, of course, there was all of these stories that I was holding and that my ex was holding that we had never communicated before that ended up creating tension in the relationship. So I think that that is really smart. And I'm curious, can we get into the nitty gritty for a second of like finances from the beginning? Because I'm curious, you said that you are all completely self-funded. And in the beginning, coming in 50-50, did you start like a business bank account and just say, okay, we're going, any of the money that's coming in here, we decide what we're going to do with it and agree upon that? In the very, very beginning, did you just say, all right, these invoices that are coming in, we're 50-50 paying it? What did that look like from the beginning? Because I feel like that might be a question mark for a lot of people that are wanting to get into a business partnership of like, how do we delegate or like discern what we should be spending financially and who has what responsibility?
Yes. So in the beginning, if you're starting a business with one person, or if you, even if you have, you know, two or three other partners, and you decide that you're all going to own equal equity, that initial business bank account does need to be funded. So you need to decide, whoever the finance person is in the group needs to decide, okay, what are the initial expenses of the business and how much does each person need to put in? And it should be equal if the ownership is equal. Then, and I would say before anyone's putting money in, have that operating agreement and have a conversation about how you're making decisions on expenses and investments in the business. In the early days, Stephanie and I, and even to a large extent now, have to both align on what we're spending money on before any dollar can get spent. You know, over time, as certain people are responsible for different things, you can align on, okay, this is your budget for marketing, an overall budget, and then maybe the person has autonomy on how that budget gets allocated and spent. But it's really all about financial planning, aligning on what the business expenses are for as far out as you can plan for it, how much money you're going to need to get the business up and running, and then alignment on how decisions are made. So for us in the early days, our only expenses were the salaries that we needed to pay our bills. So that became our revenue goal in month one. And before we quit our jobs, we had some clients lined up. So there was revenue coming in, and that is what funded the initial expenses of the business.
Did you take a salary from the very beginning, or was it just all straight going into the business?
So not all businesses can do that. With a service-based business, and Stephanie and I at the time were the only ones really providing those services. We did take a salary in the beginning that was essential. Yeah. So basically our salary, we calculated what it was, and that became our revenue goal for month one. And then we would pay ourselves maybe every 2 weeks, cut a check from the business to really cover those bare minimum expenses. And then the business kind of grew from there. That's not always the case with businesses. Some businesses, which can be very capital intensive, like a tech business, and it's going to be maybe months or years before you generate that first dollar of sales. Those businesses it's almost impossible to take a salary or cover your costs up front. So you'll have to take out a loan or raise money for that type of business. But with the business model we have, which is the agency model, you get paid upfront to do the work, and it allows you to really cash flow everything.
I love all of this because I feel like these are the conversations that actually do need to be had before going into business with somebody else, but you usually don't think about it, right? Like, you don't really know what you don't know. And so these are conversations that are really important that you're eventually going to have down the line at some point. So the sooner the better you have it, then it sounds like it'll just be a cleaner relationship overall.
Absolutely. You go, Steph.
Okay. And if you are finding yourself afraid to have those conversations with your business partner, then it might not be the right fit, because you have to be able to have these conversations. You're going to have a lot more of them as you're in business together. So having these conversations up front are very important.
It sounds like, go ahead.
And you're absolutely right. It's not comfortable. I remember it wasn't comfortable for me to be bringing up a lot of different things that bothered me. You kind of learned that as you go. If you're going to be successful in business, you have to be talking about things that make you uncomfortable, and you have to be sharing what you think is best for the business, even if it's an unpopular opinion or your business partner might disagree with it. If you don't share it, then you'll develop resentment, or your business might go off on the wrong path. One thing I will say is when you're going into business with a friend, especially in the beginning, it's very easy to get excited. Oh my gosh, I'm going into business with my best friend, and not think about all of the tougher things. And I have heard stories where business partnerships haven't worked out because business partners didn't have these types of conversations. And for anyone listening, if you're thinking about going into business with a friend, make sure that it's the type of friend who will listen and you can work through tough times with.
And if they're not a friend, any partner you're going to go into business with, you have to feel comfortable. You have to be able to communicate and have conversations and be so clear on your vision and that you are like in it together. Because if one of you is wavering, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the communication piece and how someone communicates is the most important piece, like even beyond skills. You could have, you know, the best engineer on the planet as your best friend saying, let's go into business together. But if they are horrible at communicating and stubborn and aren't willing to see things in a different light, then you're signing on for however long period of time of having to work with somebody who is incredibly frustrating to have a conversation with. And for me, I just don't think that that's worth it, because if you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into a business and part of your daily anxiety comes back to the conversation that you have to have with your co-founder or the worry of whether or not they're going to be a roadblock in like a profit producing activity, like that just doesn't seem, I'm just not down for that. I would rather have somebody who's like a subpar engineer that can get better than like the best person on the planet to be working alongside me, especially if we're talking, you know, businesses that are going to be around 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Totally.
Okay. So we're going to take a hard right. because I want to talk about brands. I want to talk about Socialfly. I want to talk about, this was actually a question that was submitted. And if anybody here has any questions in relation to what we've discussed, please feel free to drop them in the chat. But I want to ask you about creating a standout brand. I mean, the fact that Socialfly has supported over 200 brands, really big names, and has been around for as long as it has, and has gotten to the point of being acquired, you've created a standout brand. Entrepreneuristas is a standout brand. So what would you suggest for anybody that is, you know, in the first couple of years of their business, they are doing the damn thing, they're making money, things are good, but it still feels like their brand has kind of gotten lost in the mix. How do you stand out as a brand that actually attracts investors or opportunities, media? What are your suggestions?
Yes, I love this question. So the first thing is to really think about, what is your value proposition? What is different? Why work with you versus anyone else? And how can you communicate those points very quickly on your website and in your social media and in all of your marketing? Those are the questions that you need to be able to answer if you want to build a brand that stands out. It's you need to have the nice colors you love. You need to love your logo. But when people look at your marketing, can they quickly understand why they need to work with you? With us, what really set us apart was a few different things. One, we were early enough where there wasn't a ton of competitors when we launched our social media marketing agency. So we were able to stand out from that standpoint. Two, we were two young women at the time. You didn't really see a lot of that back in 2012 and 2013. So when we would go to business meetings, we would definitely, I remember people being surprised, like, wow, I didn't know I was going to meet with someone so young or a woman. And they were really taken aback. But even them being taken aback made them remember us. There's a lot of people now, because given the news that we shared that we got acquired, who are sharing stories about their impression of us when they first met us. And and you definitely always want to make a great impression. So that was one thing that helped us stand out. Then the other thing that we did was we really practiced what we preach. So not a lot of agencies focus on their own marketing, but we did. And as a result of that, we became number one organically on Google when you search for a social media agency in New York. So that helped us attract a lot of leads. We really played up that we were a woman-owned business, that we're all women-led team. So that helped us attract a lot of companies that wanted to reach and resonate with women. We submitted ourselves for awards and became award-winning. So we were able to say that we were now an award-winning agency. So that was a selling point and a differentiator. And then with the marketing that we did, we really wanted to become expert and be known to be experts in social media. So we do a lot of thought leadership, which also helps us to stand out from our competition. We're doing webinars, we're posting blogs regularly, we're active on social. And then the other thing that we did to build credibility and really set ourselves apart was the challenge that we had starting a business as young people were being respected, because we were shocked in the early days of having, you know, two people in their early or mid 20s asking them for thousands of dollar retainers as investments for their social media. So something that we did was we wrote a book. It's called Like, Love, Follow. We self-published it. It took us about a year from start to finish to write it and get it out. And we would go to all of our business meetings and leave behind the book as a takeaway. So those are some of the things that we did. And those are some of the recommendations that I would give to anyone that is hiring Socialfly as tips on how to stand out.
I would add too that the work that we were doing was and is still amazing. And when you also start leading with the results that you're getting in your business for others, and you have your clients or your customers talking about you, word of mouth truly is absolutely everything. So in the early days, one of the first things that we did, literally the first week in business, was we joined a networking group. So this group was solely meant to build relationships, to network, and to pass leads and pass business together. So, you know, I still remember going into one of those first meetings and doing my, you know, 30-second elevator pitch on what Socialfly was. And I just felt so at home in this room with everyone there that wanted to connect, that wanted to collaborate, that wanted to pass business together. And now these 50 other people knew exactly who I was, who Courtney was, what Socialfly did. So when people would ask them, oh, do you know anyone that does social media marketing? Oh, you need to talk to Stephanie and Courtney from Socialfly. Now you have this whole group of other people that are talking about you, that are speaking your name, your business name in other meetings and to other individuals that need your services. So the more that you can get out there, build relationships and network and get your brand out there, so other people are talking about you, not just you, that really helps. And I would say for entrepreneurs too. So when we started our community, we started the community, there was no one in it when we first started. Now we have, you know, close to 2,000 members in our community. And it's our members that are growing our community. They're having the best experience in the community, growing their business. So they're out there talking to their friends, talking to other founders, sharing how wonderful their experience has been in the community. So when you create a great product, when you do really great work, and other people become the marketing engines for your business and brand.
It's one of my favorite forms of marketing. And it's so funny because the first agency that I ever worked for back when I was still working in corporate marketing was called Word of Mouth. And it was a little SEO agency. It was so silly. That was back in like 2012, 2013. So I totally feel you on, you know, being the young woman in the room pitching these digital services and these digital products that at least the companies that I was working with, a lot of them had no idea the value of it at that point and were, you know, sticker shocked by what it would cost to create a social campaign or to build a really beautiful website, to manage a brand. And it's been so cool to see not only the evolution of the internet and social media and how it's been utilized, but also how certain things like word of mouth and relationships like have stood the test of time as being the most effective forms of marketing and of, you know, connecting with the right people and opening up new doorways. I know that Socialfly started doing influencer marketing as well. And so before we wrap up, I wanted to maybe like shift a little bit to the other side of the coin. How can a influencer, somebody that wants to work with brands, stand out as a creator and as somebody that can offer a lot of value beyond just the, you know, standard post or story or Instagram reel?
Yeah, love this question. So when we're working on influencer campaigns for our clients, we're not a talent agency. And sometimes brands will confuse us with a talent agency, or even influencers too will ask us to represent them. We represent the brands, and our job is to find and scout for the best influencer talent to represent the brand. And when we're vetting influencers, really what we're looking at is a variety of different things. One, do you have an engaged audience of people that genuinely and authentically love what you're doing? So are you getting lots of engagement, comments, shares? We look at all of that. We will find out if you bought followers. So if you are just getting started and you are getting those DMs about how you can get 10,000 followers for $10, I highly recommend to not do that because it's not going to get you the brand deal. And in most cases, we're looking for engagement more so than we're looking for following. So that's number one. And then number two is, do we want to work with influencers that genuinely align with the brand? So whether that means that you're already a customer of the brand or you're talking about something that the brand would want to be a part of. So as an example of that is, let's say you are an influencer that's on a health journey and you're trying all of these new health products. That might be a reason for a brand to partner with you because they want to get inserted into that conversation with your audience of authentic followers. And that could be a good pitch for you to share with a brand or an agency and say, hey, I started talking about this for the past few months with my audience, and this is the content series that I'm doing. These are the comments and questions my community has. And I think your brand would be perfect to be a part of this conversation. That's really going to get our attention versus, hey, I like your product. I'll do one post for you for $10,000. Brands all want to see the results, and they want to know what they're getting for the investment, and being able to provide them with an authentic way to reach your audience is going to help you stand out.
These are such good tips. I think that like the general theme of all of this is like, be someone who's open to giving, though. Be someone who is solution oriented for the people around you by paying attention to what they need, not just like, hey, pay me for this post, but like, how can I add value to the existing marketing that you're already doing or what you have planned over the next several months? Like, how can I be a support because I love you guys so much, because I love your product, because I'm obsessed with everything that you're doing?
Exactly.
So good. Okay. We talked about so much. We talked about community. We talked about building a business together. We talked about ick-free networking, standing out to brands. I feel so like full and happy from this conversation. So I just am so grateful for both of you for coming on. And I know that we already kind of like seated in the event that's happening in May, but could you share a little bit about that? I know that there's tickets still left over for anybody and that it is open to the public. Can you share a little bit about the event, what to expect, but then also other ways that people can connect with both of you and Entrepreneistas?
Yeah, absolutely. So from May 3rd to May 5th, we are hosting our Entrepreneista Founders Weekend. It's going to be a wealth and wellness retreat. So what that means is the content of the event and the experiences of the event are going to be focused on how can we build more wealth in our business and in our personal lives? And also, how are we taking the time to take care of ourselves? Because at the end of the day, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of our businesses, our families, anyone else. So we have to be sure that we are learning new things to be being the best to our bodies, our brains, everything about ourselves. So that is the theme of the event. It's going to start on Friday night on May 3rd. We're doing a welcome kickoff party from 7 to 9 p.m. All day Saturday, we have a beautiful breakfast and yoga in the morning for people who want to do yoga. We're going to have lots of fun activations featuring lots of brands, lots of members of our Entrepreneista League community, a full day of programming. Some of the most amazing speakers are coming. Lots of founders who've actually been on our podcast over the years, women like Farnoosh Tarabi. She's a personal finance expert. Michelle Cordero Grant. She has built and sold a company for $100+ million and is now onto her second company, Gorgy. Alexandra Kristen, who also recently sold her business, Glam Seamless. Mary, she is the M&A advisor that we recently worked with for Socialfly through our transactions. She is a partner at Tobin Leff. She's going to be on our Building a Business to Sell panel. So whether you're just starting out on your Entrepreneista journey or you're many years in business, there is going to be content and programming and wonderful relationships for everyone to make at the event. And then Sunday morning, we'll have a bit more programming and breakfast on Sunday morning. And then everyone will have their new best friends in business and lots of our members who have been building relationships with each other online over the past few years who haven't met in person. Everyone will be able to come together. So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Tickets are available at entrepreneista.com/founders. Weekend. And then you can also find us for Entrepreneista everywhere on social media at Entrepreneistas with an S at the end. And we do have our open enrollment that's starting for new members actually next week. So from March 11th to March 15th, we'll be open for new members to join our Entrepreneista League community, which is our membership community. And what we offer is a lifetime membership. So when you join the community, you get access to the community for life. There's not a recurring dues every single year. It's a one-time payment. You're in, you're part of our network forever. Can't get rid of us. We're here to support you every step of the way in business. Court, do you want to share all the social filings?
Yeah. So you can follow us basically it's at Socialfly everywhere, or our website is socialflyny.com. But on Instagram, it's at Socialfly, and LinkedIn is also a really great place to connect with us. And if you are interested in social media marketing or digital marketing services, we do more than just social. We're a full paid media agency, influencer marketing, content creation. You can reach me at Courtney@socialflyny.com.
Amazing. We're going to link all of that in the show notes. And this is coming out perfect timing for people to be able to join the membership, but also to join Founders Weekend. It's in Orlando, Florida, right?
Yes, in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando.
Amazing. I'm going to send all my Florida people over there then.
Yes.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with me, to answer these questions, and to share your knowledge. I am so grateful and so excited to see what y'all do next. I feel like even though you're 12 years in, this is just the beginning. And I know that you're going to blow all of our minds over the next 10 years.